The views expressed on the following show may not be those of the hosts, guests, or WSPN Skidmore Radio. Talk Saratoga is produced by Saratoga Broadcasting Incorporated and may not be reproduced in part or in whole unless expressed written approval is given. Now, here are the hosts of Talk Saratoga, Rick Thompson and a Saratoga All-Star.
Okay, good morning and welcome to Talk Saratoga. And I'm your host, Rick Thompson, and I'm here along with our special guest, Matt Veach. Now, most of the time Matt is on the show, we're talking about his role as Saratoga County Supervisor from Saratoga.
Yep.
Correct, Matt? And but today we're breaking out of that mold, and we're going to have to wait till fall to get Matt on
there
to talk about to talk about the Board of Supervisors, because today is our last show for the summer, and we'll be back to Saturday after Labor Day. But if you want to see me because you miss me, come on up to the track at the top of the stairs up from the Winter Circle, and I'll sing you a song from our Saturday morning show. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
Good, good. I was just going to say, I forgot that, you know, the track starts earlier this year, so basically you have to kind of go on a hiatus a little bit earlier than normal.
Yeah, I'm still up in the air whether I like that or not. The upside is 2 days off a week. The downside is Saratoga is going to be screwier a little bit early, and I'll have less overtime. So it's going to be here for good until they see that it's not paying off,
right?
And then they'll probably draw back to the 6 weeks. But and I know if they had their choice, which they may in the future, they may even start earlier than the 11th of July. They'll add more racing days, and so we'll have to see what happens.
Yeah, well, we vowed not to talk about it. So
we vowed not to talk about it.
maybe at the end if we
just
have time.
No, not even have time. Just it opens July the 11th. First race is 1 o'clock, and it should be a fun summer. So
yeah.
Today, Matt, we're going to talk about some history of Saratoga, and there's one section of it that we're talking about this morning that happened all over the country. It was a federal program, correct?
Yes.
And that was the
The urban renewal.
Urban renewal. I remember when Gloversville went through that.
Yeah.
It was kind of a long process. So it didn't happen in a year.
Right.
So tell us a little bit about what happened in Saratoga here.
Sure. So I guess first a little bit of history.
Mm-hmm.
The urban renewal program was the Title I federal program. It was actually started in 1949, right after the Second World War, because there was a general sense in the nation that, we had returning veterans from World War II, very large number of veterans, and there was a general sense that the urban areas of our country were blighted, dilapidated, not suitable really for, you know, the veterans coming back as well as to the folks that were already there. So it was generally seen as places were in rough shape.
Mm-hmm.
The housing stock wasn't very good. And the idea was that, you know, to improve the urban areas of our country.
Sure.
And so it was, you know, the Congress voted on it, the president signed it, and so it became a federal program to essentially have the federal government assist local state governments to upgrade, if you want to say that. That's
sure.
Didn't use that term back then, but upgrade the standard of living in urban areas.
Well, I know, like, when my hometown, Gloversville, went through it, they took a lot of the old sections of businesses that had been there for years that were kind of run down.
Yep.
And, really made them nice areas, and either new businesses or homes were put in then.
Right.
And to a lot of, like, back in the 50s, the most popular things were strip malls.
Yeah.
And I think they fell out of favor. So later in the program, probably back in the late 60s, excuse me, they were taking them down,
right,
And
right, so you know, I don't know the history of Gloversville's program.
No.
But in Saratoga, we actually didn't start the program until very late. So
okay.
You know, our program didn't actually start until the 1960s. So
yeah, probably there.
So we didn't take advantage of that program right off the bat. We kind of, I don't know if it was a debate or not. I haven't researched enough from the minutes of the city council and those kinds of things. But by the time we got to like 1960 to 1961, the city of Saratoga Springs decided that we were going to do the urban renewal program. And I would say the background of that really is that two things actually. The banning of illegal gambling or banning of gambling,
right.
You know, from the 1950s. So Saratoga's bookmakers and, you know, that thriving area of the city downtown that we had that had been kept up kind of was not anymore.
Right.
Saratoga was going in decline at that point because we just weren't getting that same kind of, I'll say, clientele.
Right, right.
That well, we were getting before.
A lot of money in the city.
Sure, sure.
And Kiefhoffer had to go blow that all
right. So, that was one thing. So Saratoga kind of was going in decline at that point. And the other thing was is that we had historically had some areas of town with general trouble, if you want to call it that. My brother wrote a book and, you know, basically starts from the earliest periods of crime in Saratoga, and it goes into the 1920s. And, you know, the areas that were targeted for urban renewal are the same areas that he writes about in his book that were the most troublesome areas from the beginnings of Saratoga's history.
Sure, so, and he was on the show when the book came out.
Yeah.
We discussed, you know,
Searing's
Saratoga
Alley,
back then and stuff like that. Yeah.
So really the city was saying to itself, like, well, how do we attract business? How do we attract residents? How do we, you know, we're in a situation where things aren't going very well in our community. You know, we're having, you know, it's interesting. We look at it from today where Saratoga is just booming.
Yeah.
But, you know, 50 to 55 years ago, Saratoga was not a very nice place. And it was, I shouldn't say that. I mean, people lived here, loved it. But, you know, the downtown needed help. The residential areas needed help. We were a lot like a lot of other upstate cities in the 1960s.
Right. It was a very small.
Struggling economically.
It was small and struggling because it lost its major industry. And
right.
like every other American city that had a one industry town, they went down
exactly.
You know
exactly. So then you know the idea was that we would you know accept this federal program, and we would work on you know improving our residential and business community, and we would do that by you know tearing down sections of our city. Then we would rebuild them into new sections, and the new areas would be better than the old sections, obviously,
mm-hmm.
and everything would be great. So. You know, so that was kind of the idea. So we, you know, we had several of our commissioners at the city level, and you know, working with the state and our business leaders. I would say the Chamber of Commerce and those types of organizations were all in favor of moving forward of this, and also generally, I would say the public as well. You know, when you do the research of this, you find that you know the Saratogian, which in that world, I'll say 50 years ago, they. Much more trusted news source.
Sure.
Today, the media doesn't have that same kind of, you know, overall. You know, it's not as trusted. It's
right.
You know, it becomes fake news if you don't agree with it. So, you know, so back then it was much more of an authority of you know how the community felt about things.
Sure.
And you know, the Saratogian was very much in favor of let's go forward. Let's you know, the city has all kinds of issues with housing stock, and interestingly enough. It wasn't just the urban renewal areas that had issues. There was a lot of the city that had issues. So, but we had to pick areas.
Sure.
You know, to not move this too fast, they looked at two areas of the city. One on the west side, west of Broadway. It's hard when you can't see it, but you know, they're mm-hmm. basically bordering about where there used to be a railroad line that ran through the city.
Right.
And the railroad line was one end of it, and Broadway was the other end of it. So maybe about a half a mile from west of Broadway, south to about West Circular Street, and north to Church Street.
Okay.
Behind the Adirondack Trust Building is about where it ended.
Well, they still call it Railroad.
Railroad run, yeah. Railroad,
Avenue or whatever.
Railroad place.
Railroad place.
And then the other area was north of of the Church Street line on the east. So that was from, say, Lake Avenue up to about where the Red Spring is. The Marriott Hotel is there now.
Yep.
But that was about the area. So that High Rock Park kind of area was the other area. So so they picked two areas of the city to work on. And Broadway was part of that. So the downtown area, at least from the connection points where they touched, there was actually parts of Broadway that were part of the urban renewal program. Okay. So so it's interesting to think about that. But the main sections of Broadway were not part of the urban renewal program. So the southern part and the northern part, that main block in the middle, there's only one little section that was part of urban renewal, but the rest was kind of kept as it was.
No, was that area down around where CVS is and down there?
Yeah. So so let's start with the well, let's do this. So we decided on the areas for urban renewal, right?
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly, that old rail line on Railroad Place was supposed to be an arterial highway. So there was other plans going on in Saratoga in the 1960s about how we were going to be as a city, much like Gloversville, where you're from.
Sure.
They were all kind of doing this, you know, let's figure out how we're going to, you know, modernize our community. So Saratoga actually had a plan to, well, first they were going to take out the rail line, which is where Route 50 is now, make that into an arterial highway, which they did. And that would continue on through downtown, along the west side of downtown, all the way to the other end of Route 50. And you can tell today where those plans were, because Route 50 by SPAC is like a multi-lane highway.
Right.
And then the other end is a multi-lane highway. So connect those two parts together.
Yep.
And that's where the arterial highway would have gone right through town. So imagine that four-lane highway all the way through Saratoga Springs.
Yeah, that would have been
to one end to the other end. but again, the idea was to get traffic out of those areas and put them on a highway so they could bypass the downtown area.
Right. And
thank God we never did it.
Well, exactly. And because I don't think Saratoga would be what it is today if you did that. And now years down the road, not to get off of this, but I think the Northway entrances did what that early planning was about, bringing 50 through, because the Northway exits were far enough out of Saratoga to get people to come into Saratoga,
exactly,
to downtown.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I always tell people that, and again, I don't know if this is fact or not, but I always tell people that the slip ramp that's on off of Crescent Avenue, that just, we have that one south going ramp.
That's right.
Kind of interesting. And like, why do we have that? And I always say that the reason for that was that, and again, you think when the Northway was built, the 1960s and 70s,
right,
and Saratoga wasn't a thriving town. So there must have been a thought. I just think that it was to get people out of the track. Instead of bringing them into downtown after the day of the races were over, we built a ramp on the Northway to send you out of town.
Right.
No, because you wanted to get out of here so fast after the races
were
over.
Yeah, well, that plus the congestion, I mean.
Right. I mean, somebody may know and call in and tell me if you know. But
sure, 518-580-5783 if you know the reason why they put that off ramp.
But that's my thought, is that it was to get people out of the track faster.
Right.
And not to bring them into town. At that time, the idea was you come in, you get out, right?
Right.
You didn't stay. There's interesting urban, I mean, to me, I find this very fascinating, is how the city, you know, thought about planning and development and the problems they had and the issues they tried to solve. I mean, it's not, I mean, you know, I'm in government, so I kind of know a little bit. It's not easy to fix this stuff. But I would say that back then, especially after, you know, the New Deal and those kinds of things, the idea was that government could solve big social problems.
Sure.
And do it better than anybody else. And so this was one of those problems, is that they looked at decaying cities and said, well, all right, well, if we just put a whole bunch of money into it and we put the right kind of program around it, we will solve this issue, right? We will get it so everybody's in great housing and the businesses are thriving and everything's good. We can do a big project. We can take a whole, I mean, if you think about it today, a whole section of Saratoga was torn down.
Yep.
Or two whole sections of Saratoga were torn down. That just couldn't happen today. I mean,
no.
There would be so much public outcry of taking people out of their homes, and we'll get into that in a minute.
Yeah. And disrupting business. I mean, you couldn't do it.
Disrupting?
With the car traffic, the way it is today, you know, is what it was in the past. There wasn't much.
Right.
I mean, you close one street down today, and you've got people up in arms. But I've got to say one thing, Matt. Not only are you a great politician and represent Saratoga well, but you're a historian.
Oh, yeah.
You know, your family's been here a long time and has been involved in a lot of Saratoga through a lot of years. And one thing I like about you is you're well-rounded. I mean, you know Saratoga history. I mean, you put a lot of it on Facebook, which is really good. I mean, it's nice to have a young guy know so much about the city.
Well, I mean, this is really the topic that started it for me. I mean, you know, if you have some paperwork there, but, you know, my grandfather was actually the director of urban renewal.
Okay.
So that was always my, you know, when I was a kid, you know, he would talk about this program and what he was dealing with as a city employee, official, I guess, you know, trying to implement the urban renewal program.
Sure.
And so, you know, hearing about how, you know, people were reacting to him and people reacting to the issues and people were trying to, you know, it was a big deal. So, I mean, it was always kind of at the top of people's minds, especially in the late 70s toward the end of the program where things changed a little bit. But, but yeah, so he, you know, he was involved in that, and that's kind of really where our family got a start in city politics was him, getting appointed to the urban renewal directorship. And he was the director for the entire program.
Right.
The whole 22 or 23 years that
Went
on.
That was Donald Veach, right?
Okay. Yeah, so he was the director of that program the entire time.
Yeah.
Interestingly, the first director that they had chosen had passed away, like months after they had appointed him. It was very interesting. You know, it could have been a whole different story.
Sure.
With a different director, but
different mindsets,
that kind of thing. So he kind of got an opportunity and took that and did the program from beginning to end, which was good, through different mayors. And you know, we I would say as a Saratogian and a local, I appreciate the different mayors, different political parties were elected. They kept him on as director of the program, despite politics.
Yeah, so, I knew the fellow that was in the director of Don Glover's one. He was in for 25 or 30 years, but I think, I mean, he started and then retired. It was a career. But I think once you get a person in there like that, you want to keep them because they've been there and know the process and look, anytime you work through government programs, you got to do wiggle and red tape, and he knew that.
Yeah.
So I think that's why they keep him on
from
different regimes.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. Well, yeah, I think so. That was part of it. I mean, I think he did a good job. I mean, obviously. And, you know, Saratoga was a little different back then. It was, I would think, a little less politically contentious, but also, you know, you knew your neighbors and things like that. It was a tight-knit community that had a...
Well, that's what I was going to say. Your grandfather probably knew almost everybody in Saratoga, so dealing with having to displace people to move them into different areas was probably a little bit easier for him because he knew everybody.
Yeah.
You know?
Tough, but easy.
Easier. easier than somebody coming in.
It's just still kind of boggles my mind how that actually happened, but we'll talk about that in a minute as we get more into the program. But yeah, so this has kind of been my thing that I've been involved in, you know, researching and learning more about. And, you know, I have a really part of the Facebook stuff. I mean, I have a really amazing, I've gone to, you know, the History Museum and the City Historian's Office, and they were so gracious to me to allow me to have access to their photograph collections and scan them in. So I have these files that of old pictures of Saratoga in the urban renewal areas. I don't really have a lot of the other areas of the city.
Right.
And they were so nice to let me to do that. And so I have this great photographic record of the old Saratoga in those areas before buildings got torn down.
Chuckling over here because you're probably looking at me like I'm nuts, but I can see a book coming along someday.
Yeah, that's been in the works for a long time.
Good. I think it'd be fascinating to see Saratoga the way it was pre, you know.
And again, you know, the people who lived in those areas, you know, that was their home, and they have a great, you know, memory of those areas before urban renewal came.
Sure.
And so, you know, there's a lot of controversy. I mean, it's a controversial program. I mean, there's a lot of controversy around it.
No doubt.
And people look at it from very different perspectives. I think all are valid. You know, when I kind of do my, I have a presentation that I do, and we'll talk about that too later.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I talk about that there's, you know, there's a lot of different perspectives on this, and, you know, all are good. There are results to every action that we take.
Yeah.
And it is something that affects people in different ways, and so people have different reactions to that. So,
and going through it, I mean, and like you say, you know, the reaction was probably very upsetting.
Yeah.
Because the sections that were had to be torn down and renovated were the oldest sections of Saratoga, mostly on the west side.
Yep.
And you had ethnic neighborhoods.
Yep.
And
absolutely.
That must have been hard to deal with.
Yeah.
You know, for the people involved.
Yeah. So, you know, again, the main street there, and we can talk a little bit about that. So the main street on that side of town that was slated for the urban renewal project was Congress Street.
Okay.
And, you know, the native Saratogians, people older than me, I was not around when Congress Street was in its heyday, but, you know, it was kind of like the pre-Caroline Street of Saratoga.
Okay.
You know, so we think of Caroline Street as the party central and
right.
goes all night long, and, you know, people are always down there, and it's a big hopping kind of spot of Saratoga, the nightlife area. Well, Congress Street was kind of the first area where that occurred. And it was primarily African-American, Italian. Mm-hmm. You're right. The ethnic groups
Irish.
Had moved to that area when they came into Saratoga. But Dublin is over that way.
Mm-hmm.
We still call it Dublin.
Yeah.
So those groups were in that area. And, you know, the Congress Street corridor was a primarily African-American-owned businesses. You know, there's the, Jack's Harlem Club was there, and Hattie's original location was over near Congress Street.
That?
Yeah,
it
Hattie's Chicken Shack.
Okay.
So, you know, that her original place was over there, which, and again, she's one of those great stories that you can take from urban renewal and talk about the challenges of the urban renewal and the successes for urban renewal with Hattie. She's a great story. But
Very historical figure.
No, exactly.
To Saratoga and a big asset.
Yeah. So, but that was the area where you know, generally the nightlife was, and it was a little seedier than today.
Yeah.
I mean, they, you know, the prostitution and gambling and, you know, that occurred in that street back then. And so, you know, there are, you know, still some native Saratogians around today who can remember, you know, walking over there or patronizing the establishments that were there. You know, the Golden Grill was a nightclub there, and, you know, people like always have great fond memories of the Golden Grill and being there, you know.
Well,
so,
like you said, that was the nightlife section of Saratoga before Caroline Street.
The stories of, like, you know, the Skidmore girls were told not to go down to Congress Street because, you know, it was such a terrible neighborhood.
Yeah. Well, that's what brought a lot of guys into Saratoga from the surrounding area, the Skidmore College girls, and when it was an all-girls school.
And if you remember, the college was on up on Union.
That's right.
So you're only like a block away from Congress Street if you go through Congress Park. So, you know, the college was, the Skidmore girls were right up there.
So
and then there was Congress Street at the bottom of the hill.
All-girls school, their parents warned them, do not go down to Congress Street.
Yeah, so I have that, you know, people tell me that all the time. You know, they were told not to go down there. So, you know, that's the kind of stuff people remember. And,
sure.
And it's unfortunate in some way that we don't still have that, right? You know, that we don't still have some of that old, you know, those are the old areas around.
Right.
And if you think, again, hindsight is always 20/20, but if you look at the buildings that were torn down, the houses that were torn down, the amount of historic preservation that we've done in the city, which is going to be, we'll talk about that at the end. If you had thought that was going to happen, if you knew that was going to happen, you would have never done it.
Right.
Because the value of those homes would have, people would have invested in them. They would have put in all the time to upgrade them and keep them, you know, historically relevant and live there. I mean, if you think of it today, I mean, it doesn't make sense that we don't have renewal.
But
if you think of it then, there was, nobody did that back then.
Right. But I think that was the outlook of urban renewal. I mean, do you feel that in some ways they overdid the modernization, or like you just said, the tearing down of areas, or did they just, I mean, that was just part of the beast?
I would say if you look at it against other communities, we were actually probably one of the better ones.
Okay.
Because we didn't really destroy the complete urban fabric of our downtown.
Or the character of...
Yeah. You know, I don't like to pick too much on other communities, but if you look at Amsterdam, that's a city that overdid urban renewal, because the highway system that they put through the middle of their town basically cut off different sections of their town.
Well, with that, there was one mayor. Yeah. Mayor Gamuka, I'll tell you right now.
Yeah, you're from out that way.
Have family in Amsterdam. One of the most craziest things that he did was block off Main Street.
Yes.
That killed downtown business.
Yes.
And I know several merchants down there that... I mean, a lot of people. It was like a Broadway. A lot of people downtown.
Oh, sure.
But when you do things like you said, when you got carried away with urban renewal, you could really destroy a city.
Right. Well, in that mall that they put in, the shopping mall that's kind of like has no entrance, I don't know where how to even get into that thing, you know? Yeah. So, and it's not even a mall anymore. I mean,
no,
it's turned into its offices and things. But, you know, when you go through, it says like Amsterdam Mall, and there's like a little arrow going toward it. I'm like, yeah, but where's that arrow go? I didn't even know.
Hey, I had a business down there, and I had to meet my insurance agent, and I just kept seeing his car driving around. Then about 3 minutes later, he'd come around again. He didn't know how to get off, and you know, it was just, they ruined.
It gets very confusing, downtown, and I've missed that turn for the I-88 or I-87 or I-90 down there.
Right. And
many times. I mean, I've done it.
Down there,
and I've done it many times, and I still miss it, you know, many times, because...
So that's a bad example kind of overall.
They overdid it.
Yeah.
They thought that putting this huge traffic thing in the middle would probably, I think the idea was probably more efficient. Traffic flow can get around town better. You know, there's no blockages in the main street, but now there's just nothing in the main street.
Yeah,
because we will just bypass it.
Yeah.
And again, we talked about the arterial going right through Saratoga all the way through.
Sure.
That would have happened, I think, if we did that.
I think
and we
so.
Had other plans too. I mean, I've seen some of those there's other plans of taking Spring Street and making it a huge thoroughfare through town, and you know, the Congress Park, or there'd be this highway next to it. I mean, there's these ideas that were out there.
I think
Saratoga was desperate to find a solution to a declining downtown that we had. You got to remember that. I mean, they weren't thinking we were trying to destroy the town.
Right.
They were thinking of, like, how do we get people to come to our town? How do we get people to spend time here?
To get back to where it was. When you couldn't go back to what you were doing,
right.
But to get people downtown and
right.
make
how do you
it
shift
lively
gears
again?
From a gambling economy to commercial,
a business,
right?
A commercial,
right?
Yeah.
So kind of to get back to the story.
Yep.
So probably around 1966 or so, the city council finally approved urban renewal to move forward. And they started taking down buildings and starting to displacing people from their homes. So the actual first project of urban renewal was used to be called the Downtown Mall. And it was an open area right in the middle of Broadway across from Caroline Street.
Okay.
So right now the Putnam Market is there.
Yes.
That used to be an open area that was kind of like a little... mall-ish kind of area. It had like a the original Chamber of Commerce information booth was there.
Okay.
Which is now down in front of Congress Park.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, it was like a very wide, like, kind of way to walk from up on Woodlawn down into Saratoga into Broadway. It was
Broadway.
An open area, so you could see downtown from the upper part of Woodlawn where the parking lot was.
Okay.
So the parking lot was part of urban renewal, so where our parking deck is now on Woodlawn Avenue.
Right.
The big one, not the small one at that was all urban renewal.
The newer one.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, like that Bank of America, KFC.
Probably the credit union.
Yeah, the credit union was one.
Yep.
So all those like kind of smaller buildings that are in that area off of Broadway.
Sure.
Those were all part of the urban renewal project. Market Center, I think, was on the... Market Center was part of it, too.
Really?
It used to be a Price Chopper. Market... the Market 32 or Central Market is there now, but it used to be the old
Price Chopper. And where the theater is, the movie theater.
Yeah, that was like kind of an all torn down area when I was a kid. I don't remember much being there, but there was a lot of stuff there. It was where the railroad trains used to stop. The railroad station used to be there. Okay. So the trains would stop, and there was a bunch of businesses that served the railroad.
Different things like whenever an area has a river or a railroad, that's where your businesses started out from and moved out, you know. So
and then that goes all the way down to like where, that's all part of the section. But if you keep going down Railroad Place, that is the rest of urban renewal. That little tiny like office building on the corner there with the parking lot next to it used to be a telephone office, or National Grid was there for a while. It's a different thing now. I know the guy who owns it, but that's an urban renewal project. Took down near Congress Street, and then where the Embassy Suites is and that whole thing. That was urban renewal. Wendy's was an urban renewal project. Okay. There was a car dealership where Wendy's was.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Now the drinking hall was always there, correct?
Yep, that was always there, and that was not slated to be torn down.
Okay, so but from next door to that. West?
And south, up to the school. So the section by the drink hall / visitor center.
Okay.
That little section where there's like that little small office building there.
Yeah.
That was urban renewal. So that from that visitor center up to where St. Peter's School is, or Spot Catholic.
Right.
There was buildings there. Okay. There was actually a big hotel there, actually, back in the day.
Okay.
That burned down. And so that was urban renewal. So that was kind of the area that they took.
Mm-hmm.
The big Stonecrest Apartments with the tall building, that was part of the residential idea.
Okay.
So, so what they did is they looked at the number of houses that were in that area. And I think they said something like 141 units or whatever houses were there. And so they made a Stonecrest Apartments, which was the big building, which has an equal number of housing units that used to be spread out all over the area
that they had removed.
Right, so that was kind of the idea. It's like we'll just make them all into a big tower,
right?
and the apartments, the Gaslight Apartments, are part of urban renewal. So you can just tell 1960s our architecture and low slung two story, garden apartments, kind of thing.
Yeah, and where the senior center, I'm sure that was
senior
part
center
of
was
that.
Part of that. Yeah. Yeah, so that whole area was the area of urban renewal, the first area of urban renewal. So, and that was mainly residential and commercial. There is no existing building from that area left. There wasn't anything that got preserved. There was nothing that was saved. So when you look at that area, everything there is at least 1960s or newer. And there was no preserved buildings there. So, and I say that because we'll get to the next section of urban renewal, and there is something to talk about with that. So, so there's like really no history, physical history left of that area, and no historical markers. There's really nothing there that indicates to anybody in that area that there was ever anything else there except that what's there.
Right.
And of course, NBC Suites is like a third generation building. Yeah. That used to be a Grand Union supermarket.
Yeah.
And then it was that dinner and a movie thing, and it was a bar.
Broadway Joe's.
Broadway Joe's. Yeah. And then they sold that, and that became the NBC Suites. And so that's what's there now, which is a much larger building than anything that ever had been there. That was about where Jack's Harlem Club was originally.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, right in that spot. There was a little alley that went behind there, and if you read my brother's book, it's like one of the worst crime areas of the city from like the early 1800s. The first police station and jail were on Congress Street.
Oh, really?
Because of the need for law enforcement in that area. It wasn't in City Hall or over on that side. It was right in the middle. They built it. Hey, we're going to build a jail here. right next to where we're going to arrest people.
So you don't have to walk them up Broadway to where...
So that's the first area, and then the second area is an interesting area because that really didn't get started until the 1970s, and it starts at the corner of Broadway, and it's called Ellsworth Jones Place now, but it used to be Grove Street.
Where the city center is?
Yes.
Okay.
And that was an interesting neighborhood. That had a lot of streets that were, they eliminated streets in the first one too, but the second project, they eliminated a few interesting streets. Up where the city center parking area is, near the old Bryan Inn.
Yeah.
And you know, originally Van Dam Street, you go down that hill, right? And then you have to turn on the arterial or go down Broadway.
Right.
You used to be able to go straight across there and go to Maple Avenue. And
oh, really?
Turn left or right. And actually, that was the main way in and out of town before the arterial. So Route 9, if you want to call it was Maple Ave, which is called Maple Ave in Wilton, right? It's still called Maple Ave when you go to Wilton. But,
yeah, I remember my father-in-law telling me.
Yeah, in Saratoga, you used to have to go, you got to the end of Broadway, there was no arterial in front of, in front of you. You would have to turn right at the where the city center or the hotel, the edge of the hotel is. You would turn right there, and then you would turn left and go out of town that way along Maple Avenue.
Okay.
So, again, urban renewal changed traffic patterns as well. So there was like a gas station there, and there were some services right by the old Bryan Inn. Like there was a beverage center there and a gas station there. And so it was like made for people. And it's why would you have a gas station like on Maple Avenue? Today you wouldn't even know because it's more of the parking area. And people don't really travel that road anymore. Now, but it was the main street.
Did a lot of people come through the middle of Saratoga, let's say, when they wanted to go to Glens Falls? Because they had to go to up Route 9.
Yeah, correct? I mean, if the Northway, before the Northway.
Right, before the Northway. So was Broadway a thoroughfare? I mean, even though it was through the city and it wasn't a four-lane highway, was that a thoroughfare for people to get, let's say, from down Albany Way or that to come up Broadway and then pick up 9 to go to Glens Falls to go north?
Because
that was like the main.
Yeah, that would be how you did it. Yeah,
that
would be kind of how you did it, right? Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there was other ways around, but, you know, Route 9, again, it went through town and then you had to do this like kind of left and right thing at the edge of town, and then it went out, you know, where it's, Maple Ave now is kind of the same. It gets kind of cut off and it does some work with the arterial, but you kind of could follow it all the way you used to go back in the day, across East Avenue and down by Matt's. You know, that's why you kind of see some businesses along that. If you kind of take Maple Avenue, you'll see there was like, looks like an auto dealer. It's like a house now, but like an auto place. And, you know, there's like, it looks like there's some commercial, but it's like not on the main drag, which is interesting. But it used to be, so that's why. you got to think of it that way.
Right. Well, it's hard to envision.
It's tougher to do on the radio. I do a presentation with slides so you can see this stuff. But, I find it very interesting to talk about and how different of a city we were. So back to that area.
Yeah.
So by the 1970s, social norms are starting to change when it comes to this project. I mean, first of all, I think, the mall was being built out in Wilton, which was not at the beginning. We had started to build at a large extent Geyser Crest neighborhood.
That was part of?
That was not part of urban, but we were doing that in the 60s.
All right.
So we were starting to see this suburban sprawl occur on the outer edges of town. So in the commercial area in Wilton started up. And so things are starting to change a little bit around the area. So the city was really having to figure out, and urban renewal wasn't really getting the results that it was said it was going to get, right? The commercial businesses weren't flocking to the new urban renewal areas. Okay. I mean, there are stories of my grandfather had told of, you know, trying to get, you know, big companies to come to Saratoga. Mm-hmm. You know, he goes, I worked with JCPenney's for forever, and they just would not come to downtown Saratoga because in that era it was all about malls and being out near the highway, and which it still is kind of for those retail establishments. But it was all about relocating near where the cars were going to be, and downtown Saratoga didn't have that traffic. So.
Right.
He worked very hard at trying to get those things to come here, but they would not sign contracts.
They wouldn't make the move.
And therefore, we could not build the buildings.
Okay.
So you tear down this area, and then for years it sits vacant.
Or parking lots.
lots. And it didn't like take off fast enough. And so that was one thing, right? So we tore down historic stuff, and we couldn't get anything to come in.
Right.
So, and then the second thing was just the tearing down of historic stuff. Is that, you know, the city kind of took on a new thing called the Plan of Action in the early 1970s, which is where we saw competition coming from the malls.
Mm-hmm.
We were going to update our downtown, spruce it up, get it back to where we could actually get viable businesses in there. And, you know, Adirondack Trust, of course, was the main benefactor of that. Put in a lot of money. They did a lot of studies. We had, and it was grassroots. I mean, I shouldn't just say it was the big bank. It was, you know, people just kind of came together. They had a vacant storefront in Broadway where they had this model of downtown with little blocks, and you could come in and be like, all right, well, I think we should have this here, and you could move the blocks around to say, like, this is how I would like to see our town. And you could go in and show that, and they could talk to you about how that would be good or bad. And then somebody else could come in and rearrange the blocks again and say, well,
that's neat.
So it was like, it was kind of an open community
environment thing
where we, you know, and then I have some photos of, you know, when they put trees in down, you know, downtown, you know, DPW helped out and, you know, brought the trees and
a lot of
citizens digging holes and pictures of Bill Dake with his shovel in the middle of downtown.
Yeah.
Trying to plant trees in downtown and make it beautiful. So, you know, the idea in the 70s was, you know, we're going to try to start to save our downtown instead of tear it down.
Right.
So that kind of mindset started to take over toward the second project of urban renewal, which is the one in High Rock Park and in further north. So in that project, they did the apartments, the Spring Valley apartments. That was one of the biggest projects of that. And then the city center was the other one. But in that area, and there's a couple other smaller ones along in the second urban renewal project, but there wasn't as many projects that they did at the end of the day. It was really kind of the big one was the city center and then the hotel, the Spring Valley apartments. And then there's like one office building that's like beyond beyond the old Bryan Inn. It's kind of like a odd looking shaped building. I think it has an insurance company or something in it now.
Oh yeah, yeah, right
yeah,
in there.
Yeah, it was like a TV repair place forever, and then it, you know, nobody repairs TVs anymore. Yeah. So he moved out, and
because you look at it and it is an odd.
Yeah, it's kind of like an oddly, and it's situated weirdly toward the arterial.
Yeah.
And then where the Marriott is actually the second project that was there. There was Spa Steel was there before that. It was like a steel manufacturer there. But when you go down Excelsior, that was the end of urban renewal, the other end of the urban renewal. But it's interesting because that's where you start to see the preservation movement begin. So 1977, Preservation Foundation is founded. And their first real, even really before they were founded, they were starting to look at a small gas station on the corner of Grove Street and Broadway. there was a big, huge, hulking hotel behind it that was in really awful shape, probably had been vacant for years. But in the front, there was this little, tiny gas station. And it actually was the, at the time, it wasn't a gas station anymore, but it was the, it was like a seafood place. The Great Bay Clam Company.
Oh, Great Bay,
Right, which actually located to Milton. There's an urban renewal for you. It was on Broadway, and then it moved to Milton.
Well,
okay. And it just went out of business like last year.
Right, but they were over by me in where Grand Union was on the west side.
Yep.
Great Bay was in there in that strip mall there. And then they moved from there down to 50.
Right.
And, yeah.
They just closed like about 2 years ago or so.
Yeah.
But they were in that. They were in this little tiny building. And so it was not that old. Interestingly enough, the building was not that old. It was built in 1933,
okay.
And it's 1977, so it's only like a 40-year-old building. It's not even that. It's not really that quote historic, but it had interesting architecture. It was a part of a Pure Oil Company gas station architectural concept that they had used all around the country and for their gas stations, and so the preservationists or the people who were beginning to become the Preservation Foundation started making that point that we have this architecturally significant building in downtown. It's very small. It's not that old even, but we should preserve it. We want to make sure that this building stays preserved in our city. And so they started going to City Hall. They actually had gotten Mayor Watkin, who was the mayor at the time, to appoint somebody to do historic research within the city, try to get things on the National Register and eligibility and that kind of thing. That's Julie Stokes. And they started working on figuring out if this building could be eligible for the National Register, and they found that it was. And so they did what they were doing to try to get it on the National Register. And this is a long story, but it has a good ending.
No, it's okay. No, no. This stuff's fascinating.
They battled with the Urban Renewal Agency because Urban Renewal was like, well, we have a project we're trying to get done. We need to, and, you know, because it was delaying the demolition of this building. You know, the Urban Renewal had already paid the owner for the property, so it was ready to, the city owned it, and it was, or the Urban Renewal Agency owned it, should I say, not the city. They were ready to just go forward. This project has to move. Because it's we got to tear down this lot and make it ready for something else. But the preservationists won the day. They were able to find somebody to first, let me say, Urban Renewal said, if you can find somebody who will pay us for the property, for the building, we'll save it, and you can do whatever you want with it at that point. So they found somebody from Buffalo, I think, who had money to pay the Urban Renewal Agency back for the building that they'd already paid somebody else for, which I find a very interesting concept, right? The original owner who was paid the money for the property did not get the opportunity to buy it back.
Oh, all right.
Somebody else had to buy it back. So that was an interesting concept. They may have gone and spent the money, who knows, but it was interesting, right?
Yeah.
You just paid this person and they didn't really want to buy it back, which I thought was interesting. But they bought it. I love this. This is Saratoga in a nutshell, with the understanding that it would be a commercial property in a different part of town. So, they on Spring Street actually. So the funny thing is, in Saratoga, the zoning was not commercial on Spring Street at the time. It was actually residential.
Okay.
So the owner had to go to the Zoning Board of Appeals to get a variance for the building to be moved from Broadway to Spring Street to become a commercial venture. And the Zoning Board of Appeals rejected the application. So only in Saratoga. We're all moving forward with something, right? It's been huge in the news.
Yeah.
And then the land use board goes, no, you can't do that. You're not getting your imagine the frustration of the people who are all moving this thing forward. It was so funny. So then the people said, all right, well, we'll live there. We'll make it our home. Okay, you're approved to make it your home. I just thought that was, I'm like, in pure Saratoga fashion, the land use board went,
that's right, one of the
we're putting our foot down here at this point. You know, despite the city, the Urban Renewal Agency, we paid money for the building. We're putting our foot down. You can't make it a commercial venture.
Unreal.
So what they did is they actually literally picked the building up off of the foundation.
Right.
Put it on a truck and, hired a company to move it. And, I mean, I was 5 years old when they moved it. Again, it was like 5 o'clock in the morning. They got this thing rolling down Broadway, this building rolling down Broadway. Intact.
Yeah.
My dad woke all of us up. We were, me and my brothers were little kids at the time, so we were like, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen, right? Mm-hmm. I remember kind of being over by Spring Street and rolling down the hill, rolling up the hill on Spring Street. And then they wound up putting it in its final resting spot at the property that they had chosen for it. So it's really interesting. It was a really cool story. If you go there today, it's still there.
It's not the breadbasket.
Yeah, the breadbasket.
Now you know Lynn Goodness.
Yeah.
All right. Well, he was great friends with people that owned the breadbasket, and he helped move the building with them.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, I don't. I just remember seeing it as a kid and being like totally fascinated because I was five.
Sure.
You know.
Well, Lynn's near 100 now, so he was. He was
in a strong age back
right.
then. So that was the first thing, and then the second thing was the Muzan House was part of the Urban Renewal area, and that owner just fought very hard against the city to have them tear down the home, and eventually the Urban Renewal Agency relented, and that one was saved.
Okay.
And then there was a third building on the corner of Lake Avenue and Maple Avenue.
All right.
So they're like, if you start at the top at Broadway and Lake Avenue by City Hall is on one side of the road, and then on the other side of the road is that big, it's kind of like a red and green building, the big huge block that's right there.
Yeah.
The next set of buildings down the hill were all slated to be torn down for Urban Renewal. But the owners decided that they would invest. Urban Renewal changed its tune a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Said, if you can invest in rehabilitating the property, we won't tear it down. So the owners had rehabilitated those buildings and in the first couple ones. But the last one on the corner, it's 18 Lake Avenue, that owner was not able to rehabilitate it.
Okay.
But somebody came in and purchased it out and basically rehabilitated the building. So that one was not torn down either. So you can tell that by the time we get to like 1980,
right,
urban renewal is starting to lose its steam as a program because it's the public is starting to turn against tearing down old buildings.
Sure.
The mindset of the community is changing to preservation than it is toward tearing things down. Now, and that's not to say that other areas of the city didn't get torn down. That's a different discussion. We can talk about that a little bit at the end. But
right.
But yeah, the by the time the program ended, urban renewal was seen very more negatively by the community as like, we really shouldn't be doing this. You know, there was a third area that was scheduled for urban renewal down on Putnam Street.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, heart of downtown.
Yeah.
From Putnam Street over to Caroline Street and that, like the gut area down there.
Sure.
And it did get torn down, actually. They did do the tearing down part of that project and removing people who were in that area. Interestingly enough, there was a huge apartment building in that block that had actually burned down in the early 1960s. So a lot of that lot was already torn down mm-hmm. to begin with. They just cleared the last few businesses that were there and buildings.
Okay. You know, you made a comment that
yeah.
But the urban renewal changed its tune a little bit and would mm-hmm. allow people to buy back their building if they would rehab themselves. Do you think that was a federal government change in ideology because they were spending money on these on urban renewal programs through the cities and they just wanted to see people rehabilitate their
own
property, you
think? I said it that way, and that may not be true.
Okay.
I think urban renewal always wanted to tear it down. But at the end, but what I would say, though, is you make a good point, is that the truth is that federal funding for urban renewal programs was starting to decline.
Okay.
So our second project started with a certain amount of money, and they started to pull back the funding.
Oh.
So that could be really more the practical way that urban renewal changes tune.
Okay.
We'll allow some preservation because, well, we just don't have the money to tear them all down.
Okay.
So you could look at it that way, too. I mean, I think you make a great point. You know, and again, federal government, it's now urban renewal is no longer an actual program. It's called small cities, and communities
sure.
get big grants at once in a while, and they do big projects. But it's not – and some communities have urban renewal agencies still, and – we don't. We got rid of ours in 1986 and never to look back, basically, at that point. But again, there was some preservation in the second project. So that, to me, I think that's a good thing.
Sure.
But again, at the end of the day, the other things that urban renewal did were probably where they were more successful. You know, infrastructure work. I have pictures and actually movies, Veach Home movies of High Rock Avenue after a really heavy rainstorm, flooding to a point where it's above your knees. I mean, down where High Rock Park is,
mm-hmm.
it used to flood high enough that it was like three or four feet of standing water.
Wow.
Down there. And there was all houses. I mean, people lived along that valley. You know, High Rock Park was much smaller than it is now. The farmer's market area had houses and stuff there.
Oh, okay.
And across the street too, where it's kind of like an open where the apartments are.
Right.
There was houses and spring
okay.
houses and things like that there. So think about that. If you lived in a house down at the bottom of the valley, and every time it rained hard, you got 4 feet of water in your basement, even on your first floor. I mean,
yeah.
how much mold and
bacteria. Yeah.
And they were buildings that had been around for, you know, built in the 1800s.
Well,
know,
even
so.
Even as far as, I mean, when you were a teenager, probably Spring Street used to be that whole valley. Like
mm-hmm.
you said, that whole valley used to flood.
Right.
Until they put the storm drain change that.
Right. Which the urban renewal program for their did that.
Okay.
I mean, the storm drains underneath High Rock Avenue are like 6 feet. They're 6 feet tall. You could stand in them.
Okay. All right.
You know, because they're so big because it handles all of that village brook that flows through down there
sure.
when it rains now. And you can even hear it. If you walk down High Rock after a heavy rainstorm, you can hear the flowing water underneath
right.
you. Okay. Through the storm drains. You can hear all the water that's rushing down through that area all the time.
But I can imagine, like you said, imagine the houses that got flooded.
there was some practical reason to doing urban renewal there. But again, I think, you know, and we'll get to the social stuff in a little bit. I don't know where
we've got about 5 minutes.
Oh, really? We've talked for a whole hour?
Well, yeah, it goes by. Oh, but you know what? I did want to say before the end, you can tie things up, but I'd like to do this second part of this in September, if you would be willing to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, when we come back, it'd be a good place to pick up from.
Sure. Yeah, because, I mean, there's a whole social side of this, and I think that needs to be talked about. We didn't really talk much about that.
Well, why don't we do the social side in September when we come back, and we can finish up with some of the city.
We can also talk about after urban renewal and the growth of the city. I mean, the urban renewal, you think of it now, it's a more broad topic than just a program. But, you know, we can talk about that, too, about what's city in the country.
Yeah, well, what I wanted to do, actually, was to get a history period of the show. So maybe every 6 weeks we could have a historical part on. So if you don't mind, you know, we'll fit it into your schedule.
Oh, yeah.
But you could be Talk Saratoga's historical show. No, seriously,
historical department.
I wanted to inject this into the show somehow.
Yeah.
And I mean, this is a perfect example. Well, again, you're the perfect person for it.
It was a huge program. It lasted, I always say it was a quarter of our city's history, essentially.
Sure.
Was this program was going on, which is interesting. You know, cities, a little less than that now, but when the city hit its 100-year mark in 2015, 25 years of its history was urban renewal. I mean, it was a quarter of the city's, a big part of it.
Yeah.
So,
I think that has contributed to urban movement. Like my development, where I am in Michael Manor, was built in early 70s.
Yep.
I mean, that was probably a result of urban renewal for people to move outside of the area to buy. And you said Geyser Crest, which was one of the first developments.
And those developments in the city created a different reaction from the community.
Okay.
And so that's where city, again, we're not guilty. We just live there. But those neighborhoods were the start of the thought of we have to do a city in the country concept.
Yeah.
Because we don't want to have sprawling neighborhoods all over that are like that cookie cutter suburban development, and we have to react against that. We want to promote our downtown. We want to make sure that people are living in the urban core, which again was a reaction against urban renewal. We want to have a thriving downtown.
Right.
It's all the same kind of thing. So I'd love to talk about, you know, because again the social part of this is a big part of the story.
Yeah,
to some people the biggest part of the story.
Right.
And I don't want to kind of give it a short.
No, we'll do it because you're familiar too with other parts of history of Saratoga we can talk about. And
so quick shameless plug, are we at the end?
Yeah, we got 2 minutes.
So I am doing this program again. I have a PowerPoint. I call it a PowerPoint presentation. I do have a presentation on urban renewal. I'm doing it again for the Visitor Center. They've approached me and we kind of talked. It's in October. I believe it's October 9th or 10th.
Then September we'll make an announcement on it. Okay.
Yeah. So there, it's going to be in their brown bag program that do at the library. It's at lunchtime, so it's not the most convenient time for people who work, but it is an hour off. So take an hour off if you're working downtown. Come to the library, and see a little bit of the history. And I show the pictures. So that's the part that really is fascinating.
Well, the next show, bring your pictures in, and we'll show.
Visualize Congress Street.
Well, we'll be doing video podcasts pretty soon.
See, there you
so,
go. You
know,
that.
I mean, you could do that. But yeah, we're about out of time. But I like you said, there's so many facets to urban renewal and what it did, what it was designed for, what it did, and the reactions of people. I mean, and that happened in every city. It wasn't just Saratoga.
Yep.
Urban renewal had an impact and changed cities.
Right. We'll get into it next time, but it gets into the whole concept of, you know, trust in government to solve problems. And how did it lead to our social feelings about that today. Sure. You know, and the media. I mean, you know, Saratogian always said this was the greatest thing since sliced bread. I can't find an editorial from them that said it was bad.
Really?
and so, I mean, again, people trusted the media more back then, but at the same token, they never said, I mean, there were some articles where they had some right. controversial parts of it, but they never were like, you know, this is a bad idea.
Right.
or that, you know, the displacement of people and then moving them to another urban renewal area was probably not a good idea because
right.
their second home is going to get torn. I mean, imagine if you were – that was that's part of Hattie's story is
yeah.
that she got actually moved into a what would be another urban renewal area.
Okay.
So she yeah. quickly she moved from the one urban renewal area. Hey, we got the spot for you down on Phyla Street.
Right.
Moved her into Phyla Street, right. and then they announced the Small Cities program is going to be Phyla Street. I mean, imagine if you're Hattie. I mean, again, one of our most prominent citizens.
yeah.
you know,
prominent businesses. People came
right.
all
people
over
loved
to have
it,
a fried
right.
chicken.
And they still love it,
yeah.
right? And all right, so we're gonna tear down this one, and we're going to move you here. We're not going to tell you we're going to do the next program there.
Right. Yeah,
I mean, there's a lot of that in urban renewal.
Yeah. All right. Well,
so,
Matt, you know, I want to thank you for
sure.
doing this, and you're going to be a permanent all-star now.
Oh, no.
And Talk Saratoga. But it's very interesting, and, you know, a lot of people don't know about this part of Saratoga.
Yeah.
And
yeah, especially if you're new, so many new residents, they just don't know the history.
Oh, I know. They think it's been like this forever.
Right.
And it took a lot to build it up to this and a lot of citizen involvement, which
yep.
is still going on in Saratoga
yep.
today.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of citizen involvement in our city. So appreciate it.
Sure.
Have a great summer.
You too.
And
have fun at the track. I'll see you there.
Yeah, I hope so. Stop over. You always do. And everybody, you have a great summer. I am going to miss being with you on Saturdays, but the call of the races does call. So we'll see you the first Saturday after Labor Day. Have a great one.